What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 263 of the PS4 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And there's not a lot to talk about, really. This was kind of a short week in... I mean, we had the holiday, so obviously it was a short week. But as far as news, it was just super light. I was trying to go back and look at stuff, and because Destiny 2 came out, like, all the talk's been about Destiny 2 and, you know, graphics comparisons and where stuff is and...
As it should.
Yeah, I think the first bit was that that was interesting, at least for people who play Need for Speed, is that in Need for Speed Payback, Toyota won't be in that game for the first time in the franchise history since 94. Which is interesting. I'm wondering why Toyota's backing out of being in a video game. But I don't play Need for Speed anymore, so I'm not that involved in it. But, yeah, as far as major news, we had, like I said, we had Destiny came out, and then we had the Battlefield 1 In the Name of the Tsar DLC hit this week, and the Rainbow Six Siege Blood Orchid DLC came out as well. But now, both of those DLC packs came out early for the prospective Season Pass and, I forget what the other Premium Pass holders have, so... The Rainbow Six operators will be available next week to everybody who's not a Season Pass holder. The map is, of course, available to all. And then in 2 weeks, if people are waiting to buy the standalone expansion for In the Name of the Tsar, they can buy it in during that time. But it's early for all the Premium Pass. But there's so many Premium Pass holders for Battlefield 1. It's crazy, especially when they just bundled them together and they've been discounting the Premium Pass a bunch the past couple months. But... So I'm sure we'll talk about those. But other than that, as far as news, there's not a lot. We got LA Noire got announced. Coming to Switch, PS4, and Xbox One, and a VR edition. I guess a remaster of LA Noire, which is super weird. That game came out in 2011. But it'll be released on November 14th across all systems. I never did beat LA Noire. I don't remember why. I'm trying to think of what... If they'd give me the exact date in 2011, I could probably forget what it was. Because 2011 was Uncharted 3, Dark Souls, and Skyrim were the big hitters. And I'm trying to think when LA Noire came out. But, yeah, I just never got around to it. I did enjoy it. If it was... I wonder if it's cheap. Maybe I might re-roll and just try it again. But, yeah, there's no... No pricing on it. Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then outside of that, the Resident Evil 7 Gold Edition got announced. Also announced the release date for the next bit of DLC that comes with it. So the Gold Edition will be out on December 12th in conjunction with the, I guess, the final bit of DLC, the delayed Not a Hero DLC that was everybody's been waiting on, so that'll be nice. I'll be looking forward to that, because I was like, man, when's that DLC gonna hit? I want to play some more Resident Evil 7. Apparently there's also the End of Zoe add-on. We'll focus on one of the Baker daughters, Zoe. The story takes place after the events of the main game. Players will explore new swamp-filled areas and will be battling against new enemies, so that'll be interesting. But I look forward to that. That'll be nice, because at least in December, I figured it would probably be kind of quiet, because there's not many, like, the games I thought would come out in December, like Far Cry 5, are coming out in 2018. So I figured once December rolls around, unless I'm, I don't know what else there would be, because you figure to play everything, whatever maybe gets held over from November, I would play in December. But that'll be nice to at least have a small chunk of something to play during that time. And then
I feel like there's a ton of stuff coming out in December. Isn't there? Or am I crazy?
It's September, October, November that are the big ones. Yeah. December doesn't have much.
Well, you'll have a lot of carryover unless you play a shit ton of games during those months, then.
Well, Death of the Outsider comes out next week, and that'll be short or easy. I can beat that probably with a week, depending on how slow and stealthy I play it. I might just go balls to the wall. or balls out, as they say, which is actually a term based on a machine, but let's see. Then in...
could be full of shit right now, and I would have no idea. But at the same time, I'm also just not going to Google balls out.
If you can. There was a. It's a machine that had. It's you've seen it plenty of times. The contraption ways. It's where it's like when the machine is running, it spins this rod that's sticking up out of it, and at the top of the rod, it has these weighted spheres. And the faster the machine goes, the more centrifugal force pushes out these weighted spheres. So you see,
I'm just laughing because you're describing this right now.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is, and that's the term "balls out" because the balls are out. The machine is working at maximum capacity. Some old machine from back in like the 20s or something. I think it's like a steam machine or something, not like from Valve, but some steam engine.
Seems like a World's Fair kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll Google it on my end and send you the link. But balls out.
But Jason's not afraid to Google.
I got
balls.
A movie. There's an Urban Dictionary. It's not what I want. But yeah. I like how it's been changed, though, to the...
I love shopping, but my biggest challenge...
Often vulgar. But yeah, first known use of balls out was 1945, around then. But yeah, it's for the machine. There was a... I think I was watching, like, a How It's Made or How It Works, one of those shows that were on History Channel. That's where it came from. But anyways, machine. But yeah. Other than that, we did get some news about... South Park, which I thought was really funny, where the difficulty slider changes the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the...
I saw that. That caused such a shitstorm.
Oh, it's hilarious. And then the gender choice also changes some stuff as well in the game.
I didn't know about the gender choice.
So very South Park.
What does the gender choice change?
So there's... you can... You roll in the first South Park... You had to be a male character. And then in this one, you can choose... there's a part, I guess, where you choose your gender. You're talking to Mr. Mackey, and he's like, okay, so... You know, I think he asks, like, you know, what... I don't know if it's, like, what you identify as, but he's like, you know... So you choose your gender. And it's like, oh, if you stick with male, it's like... Then he goes, okay, let me check with your parents. Then he calls the parents. He's like, yeah, that... Canonically, that's what happened, because that's what you were in the first game. And then if you want to change it, you can see, like, you're a girl, and it's like, oh, let me call your parents. And then he's like, double checks, and goes, oh, he is a girl. And then you can identify as trans, or you can say, you know, nothing, or whatever. There's, like, this whole colorful dialogue that happens because of it between you and Mr. Mackey, where, like, they confirm that that's what you want to do. But it does the... I like how it says the doesn't affect combat, the difficulty slider. It just affects things like how much money you get and how certain people react to you for the skin color. Yeah, so I'm like, all right, my character's going to suddenly become black because I'm going to have to put on the hardest difficulty.
I think that's pretty funny. Like, it's a very South Park thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good commentary of, you know, life is harder and then the fact that it doesn't affect combat, but it's just everything else is harder in life. Brilliant.
It was really funny because then on the Kind of Funny Morning Show, it was Greg and Andrea Renee, and they were talking about it, and they had a write-in from someone who's saying how they like to play games on hard difficulty, but they didn't want to be forced to play someone of a darker skin color because they weren't. And then Andrea Renee's like, oh, really? You don't like playing as someone that you aren't, huh? Yeah? It was just like, because all the... male characters.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really funny.
every person of color says that ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, if people played Starhawk, wow, it was a good game. But
it's the same exact thing of, like, when there's a female lead character, it's like, why can't you choose a male character? I'm not a girl. I don't want to play as a girl. It's like, shut up. That's not what the character is.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're not self-inserting yourself in this stupid fucking game. You're playing as a character. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's if it was a game where you were a silent protagonist and you, the player, were here, like a Skyrim or you know, you have character creation, so everybody talks to you, versus something like Uncharted. Like, it's a story about these characters. You know, it's
although
Nadine
in
and Chloe.
South Park, you have character creation, don't you? Am I crazy?
Yeah, but you could only be a male character. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I never then... actually played the first one, so.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus, get the fuck out of here. But it comes free with Stick of Truth, so you'll have two games you can play.
Hooray!
But, yeah, so that's pretty funny, though. I like that. I'll be like, all right, let's do that. I hope someone posts on YouTube super quick, like, the cutscenes where it shows the difference, like, between easy, normal, and hard. I want to see, like, the dialogue changes and how much money the money changes. I figure it'd just be standard stuff, like in most video games when it's difficult and you get less money. It's like, all right. I'm just wondering how... I've never seen it where... Because, like, in Skyrim, I think if you... There's, like, one of the races you can pick, and I think a lot of people typically don't like that race. Like, they're super sketch. And so people might say something towards you in a certain way because you're that particular race, but it's never, like, impactful to the game. So I'm really curious how it would be in...
There's a few different races in Skyrim where people respond to you differently. But aside from, like, very, very small changes, it doesn't really affect anything. Like, it's not noticeable in any way when you're playing.
Khajiit is legit. Khajiit has wares. I always like those... Anytime you see, like, the wildlife people, like, carrying out a mountain lion out from some location, and people always meme it. It's like, Khajiit has wares. He's just selling...
Khajiit does nothing wrong.
Khajiit has nothing... Yeah, exactly. But... good times. But yeah, definitely look forward to that. I thought that was hilarious. I can't wait to see how many people complain about it and just...
Oh, I've already seen a shit ton of people complaining about it.
Well, I don't look for it, so luckily I don't.
I wasn't looking for it. That's how like frequent it is. There's already a shit ton of complaining about it.
I just didn't see it going.
Like the brilliant argument, like they were making fun of, is it's a bunch of people complaining that they have to play as a skin color they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally exactly what the commentary is supposed to be on.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just don't seem to get it.
Commentary and irony are lost on stupid people.
Mm. Yep.
But, oh yeah, we also had Knack 2 came out this week as well. Which is getting good reviews.
Yeah, surprisingly, everyone's considering it a good game now.
Yeah, seems good. It's fun. I see a lot of, people playing co-op, like, on Twitter and stuff. Like, them with their kids and stuff. Like, it's a really good game for that. Like, they're the kids that, like, love Knack and stuff like that. But that's good. But yeah, other than that, that's basically it. So we can probably just talk about the main things that came out. The DLCs in Destiny 2. So you've been playing it. Have you finished the campaign yet?
Yeah, I beat the campaign.
Okay, how long would you say... Actually, never mind, don't... Well, you didn't... I already been fine, but you can tell if everybody's listening. How long did it take you to get everything done?
Probably like 6 to 8 hours to beat the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly short campaign.
Yeah, and then how much... Did you pretty much just go right through it, or did you stop and do a bunch of side stuff as well?
So, the way the campaign works in this game is... Like, there are the main story missions, and then there are kind of side missions that are actually still important to the story. So the main campaign took me like 6 to 8 hours to beat. I haven't even touched all the like side missions yet. There's still a ton of them left. So pretty much went straight through with the story.
Mm.
Or the main story, rather, without realizing that a lot of these smaller missions actually contribute to the main story in very cool ways. So now as I'm leveling, I'm doing the side missions.
Yeah, I was talking to my cousin about it, and he was kind of describing that. And I was like, yeah, that would... That'd work out, because at least that would stretch. It's like, oh, do this, like, do some missions, and then some side quests that are actually, from what I hear from podcasts, are actually good side quests. They're not just crap ones.
Yeah, they're actually pretty interesting. And then the story tidbits you get, there's been a few of them that are kind of like, oh, holy shit. There's a very cool story elements hidden in them.
That's what I hear. So that'd be cool to do once I get it eventually. But is there, you feel like, there's enough there post game? Is it just running, doing the same thing? Now you're on that grind where you,
I mean, it's still a bit grindy. If you didn't like the grind in Destiny 1, you're probably not going to like Destiny 2. Just because they are still, you know, one's a sequel to the other, but they've made the grind much more fun. So the biggest change they made that I think was for the best is that all the missions now take place in the main world, as opposed to like four where you had to load into a mission specifically. Now you basically go on patrol like you did in Destiny 1 to do the missions, which means you run into other people. If in the middle of a mission something pops up that you want to do instead, you can just sidetrack and take care of that instead of doing the mission. It's a lot more encouraging to kind of go out and actually see the world and explore things now, which the first game didn't really have.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot there that definitely is a nice improvement that I would look forward to.
I mean, you were giving me shit about this in the chat, but like pretty much every change they made thus far has been like a really good change. Destiny 2 is basically better than Destiny 1 in every single way. The only thing that people are really finding to complain about is how shaders work now.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're complaining about in a game like this, then they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Like, if all you're complaining about is how you color your armor, you did a pretty good job on the game.
Yeah.
That said, I think the shader thing is way overblown, because the shaders now function pretty much exactly like the eyes in Final Fantasy XIV.
Yeah.
It functions basically the same as, like, how every other MMO colors things.
Yeah, when I was hearing people bitch about it, it was definitely one of those things like, you guys clearly didn't play 14, because it just sounds like dies.
Right. It's the exact same as dies in 14, things like that. The only reason people are pissed about it is they're worried that there are going to be rare shaders that like they really like, and then they use them. And then if they want to change colors again and change back, they can't do that easily. Which I don't actually think is going to be that big of a deal, and frankly, I don't think it matters that much.
It doesn't.
Yeah, so I pretty much think people are just massively overreacting and finding something to complain about, but
yep.
Like I said, if that's what you want to complain about, the game did a pretty good job then.
Yeah, it's funny just hearing people complain about it, but
just for the sake of complaining, like, it's such a non-issue, but just because of what was in the game previously, like, you could just use them whenever.
The thing is,
but now
though,
that they
like,
changed it, people don't like change.
In the game previously, you could use them whenever, but you put on one shader and it colored everything. Now you can customize every single piece of gear separately. You can customize your ship color, your sparrow color, your armor color, your weapons. So they've actually made the system much more in-depth. And you can do some really cool combinations by coloring them separately. People are just finding something to complain about.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, campaign is pretty good. I don't know if I would ever recommend Destiny to somebody who had no interest in doing like some of the more social aspects or things like that, because I don't know if I would recommend it like based on the 6 to 8 hours campaign and story alone. You kind of have to be willing to dive into all the other stuff as well, like the side missions, the patrols, things like that.
Well, the same can be said for any kind of MMO.
Yeah, it's basically, if it's an MMO and you have to base it on whether or not you're going to buy it, and only do the main story, you know, if you're okay with MMOs just completing the main story and that's it, or whether you want more to it. My favorite parts of Destiny are always the strikes and the raids, the challenging parts. And I haven't even gotten to those yet since they're not released, and I'm not high enough to do the Nightfalls or the challenging things, but I'm still having a blast playing it so far. I've put in enough hours that I actually have neck pain from staring at the TV in a weird position.
First world problems.
Very much so.
Yeah. That's funny. And you just been playing FFSI?
Yeah, pretty much. I got that Assassin's Creed game that was free for Plus, the one that takes place after Black Flag, but I haven't dove into it yet.
Unity?
I got kind of distracted. No. Freedom Cry?
Oh, the Freedom Cry DLC. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like a standalone DLC game?
I think
it's like the one with.
It's kind of standalone-ish. Yeah, it was kind of like, I don't remember if it was like a season pass bundle, because it's two pieces, right? Freedom Cry, isn't it broken up in two parts? I think when it came out originally, it was two parts. But yeah, I think they made it a standalone DLC back then. But
oh, I just downloaded it off the PS Plus.
I need to download the Infamous Second Son because I have it on disc, but I want it digitally.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should download that just to have it on a digital copy.
Yeah, right. Gotta do that.
But yeah, I need to do that, but I got distracted by the Monster Hunter Stories demo, yeah, which is stupidly fun, and I want to buy the game now, but I have a game coming next week, so I need to restrain myself.
What game?
Game is coming next week.
Samus Returns.
Oh, nice.
Didn't even know that was coming out.
Yes, comes out on my birthday.
You Yay. Seem to be getting a lot of birthday presents from yourself.
I bought two. I'm getting Metroid, and then I bought Propto.
Nice.
But that was a lot of money. And then we also bought, Michael bought the Thunderjaw statue, because he saw it on Amazon and was like, I'm going to buy this. It's like, okay.
What?
We just spent a lot of money, but okay. Yeah.
How expensive is it?
It was the one from the collector's edition that originally came with Horizon. It's like, we're buying the collector's edition box just without the game, because mm-hmm. we already have the game. So I was like, we just spent a lot of money on toys. But that's okay. At least they're neat.
Yeah. That's funny.
You know, it's pretty bad when Zai is the one being responsible.
I told him to buy it when we first got the game because I thought it was fucking awesome. But he was like, no, we'll wait. But he waited on buying the Skyrim statue when it was like $40. But now it's $200. So we just went ahead and bought that Thunderjaw.
Do it. Yeah. I kept looking at that Nathan Drake statue.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is so fucking detailed. And I was like, man, I want it so bad, because they're only making like 500 of them, and I was like, I almost bought it. I was like, because it's like almost 2 feet tall, right? Let's see.
You get your finger, it's like in the cart, and you're hovering over the checkout button, you're like,
Nathan Drake statue.
How much is it?
Let me see hold on. This is an eBay listing. Damn, I think that means it's
gone.
It's limited 700. Hold on. I'm trying to these links to work. See which one. I'm trying to find like an original. Oh, it's still on pre-order. It
forever.
It's a $350 limited edition. It's on pre-order.
That's about
so
how much the Hot Toys figures are. So.
Yeah, the cheapest, the Bloodborne one they had at PSX 2 years ago, where it was just the Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cheap. I think that was like $150, but it was kind of small. But I really wanted it back then. But here's the link to the statue. But yeah, it's 20 inches high. It's fucking. I was like, man, I want that. But yeah. Whoa, a Sub-Zero statue? I want to see this thing.
And there goes all JCM's money.
Yep.
No.
Rip budget.
I'd want to spend a bunch of money on those metal posters, because that's what I really want to spend money on. I need to get those. I just still haven't.
Still haven't bought any?
No, I haven't bought any yet. Is this on my hard drive? Oh, it is. Okay, good. I already have that downloaded.
I am definitely going to get that Hunter Figma when it comes out, though, so planning on spending money on that already.
Fuck, the Sub-Zero statue's 21 inches high. Just Sub-Zero.
Where are you going to put these things, Zaya?
I don't know.
Where do you even fit all this shit?
Okay, Thunderjaw is going to live in Michael's house because I don't have anywhere to put it. But I think I'm just going to keep Prompto on my desk because I literally have nowhere to display him.
That's what I was wondering. Like, with how I know you have like a ton of this stuff, mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, Is your room basically like a collector's, like, emporium thing, or like a toy store?
I have shit in boxes in my closet because I just don't have anywhere to put it. But the biggest thing is, like, I run out of room because everything is still in its original box. I don't have, like, a safe place to put stuff because it just gets, like, cat hair and dust and just, like, crap all over it. And I have, like, my PlayArts Kai Raiden, which was, like, $250 because we bought it and we decided on the black one because the white one was, like, $300. We're going to save money. He's still in the box. I can't, like, take him out and pose him and look all cool and stuff because he's going to get dirty and I'm scared. I need, like...
dirty just because you're a cat.
Well, I also live in the middle of a goddamn desert, so it's like I dust my desk and then 3 hours later there's dust all over it again. Because I just live in, like, dirt land. So we've been looking at getting one of those, like, enclosed glass bookcases.
Nice.
But I'm still...
the display case things?
Yeah, it actually, like, a big display, like, glass display case, but we can't find one that's reasonably priced and fully sealed, so I'm fairly concerned that even if we do spend, you know, like $150 on a small display case, it's still gonna get dust and shit in it. So
just clean it occasionally then.
Clean it occasionally, like every goddamn day, take everything out and dust it, dust the whole thing down and put everything back in.
Yep.
That's what I would have to do to keep it from being disgustingly dusty. It's dust every goddamn day. All of my amiibos are still in their box because I'm afraid for their lives.
It's good to know you get a good enjoyment out of all that. Don't the boxes still get dusty anyways?
Yeah, but they're a lot easier to clean than the little fucking figures that get dust in the little crannies.
Sorry.
I have some figures that are out just because the box that I got them in was, like, destroyed when it got shipped to me. And I have to clean them with a toothbrush. Because you can't just dust them. It's fucking infuriating.
Can you just use, like, compressed air or something?
It doesn't work.
Why?
Because the dust, like, sticks to the shit. It's fucking infuriating. This is what happens when you live in the goddamn dust bowl.
Well, whose fault was that?
Not mine! I didn't choose to live here!
That's funny.
This is the what other keeps place Zaya up at night.
It does. It pisses me off. I look at my figures in the box like, you could look so cool if I didn't live in a shitty place. If my house wasn't built in the 1910s and had, like, weather sealing and shit in the windows and... God damn it.
That's funny. There you go. That's the centrifugal governor for the balls to the wall or balls out. Let you know.
Have you been looking for that this entire time?
No, just the past, while you guys were talking. Balls. I was trying to find the video. I found one where it was Jay Leno talking about it. He was talking about machines, but the person that posted on YouTube was shitty quality. But yeah.
All right. To look at this and hope it's not something.
It's just a JPEG. Oh. To show you the design, so you know, like, oh, I've seen that plenty of times. But, aside from statues,
I think you guys should all get Destiny.
At some point I will, but right now I'm playing Everybody's Golf, I'm playing Battlefield 1 DLC, and then I'll play the Rainbow Six Siege DLC. The next week is Death of the Outsider, so I'm going to play that. And then I have to get ready for... prepare my body for the other horror game that's coming out at the beginning of October 17th. I'm totally blanking
Evil
on
Within.
But
Evil Within or Evil something Within 2, else.
Yeah. Evil Within 2. There we go. And then you got AC and Wolfenstein, the end of the month. But if I end up getting Destiny, it'd probably be some point later this month. Like, maybe I'll play it, like, when I have 2 weeks left. It depends on how quickly I beat Death of the Outsider, but because again, it's just a single player game for me. But then I didn't play the Rainbow Six Siege DLC. I'm not a season pass holder, so I don't have access to the operators, but what I've heard from my cousin and a friend of mine who play, because they played it a bit, they really like some of the new, they like one of the new operators for sure. He's tried, he hasn't tried the other two that much. And then the new map, they said was pretty good. But they did make some changes for any of you out there who play Rainbow, where they dropped two maps from the map pool. They got rid of Favela and Yacht, which is good because both those maps suck. And now it's, so in casual, it's 15 maps total. And then on ranked, it's only 9 maps. And they did this as a way to, it makes sense on the ranked, because then for like the ESL and professional, the pro league games, at least they can focus on like, okay, it's like StarCraft, where StarCraft has a map pool every season. It goes, oh, these are the 7 maps. So everybody learns those maps. And then after the end of the season and the major tournaments, then they change the map pool. So then you have to learn something entirely different, because a lot of the meta in StarCraft isn't just between the three races. It's also the maps. The maps play a huge part in the meta for StarCraft. So they kind of brought that over to Rainbow Six now, where if they keep the maps in rotation, people can learn, focus more on, okay, well, it's going to be at least one of these 9 maps. So let's get really good at these ones, you know. Maybe they can do a thing like they do map voting. I'm not sure, I haven't watched if they do that or not, if it's just at random, but at least they can focus a little more. And then they also wanted to, the other thing I don't agree with, because they only cut 2 maps, is to help new players. They wanted to decrease the amount of casual maps, that way they can come into it now, and because obviously map awareness is a huge thing in video games. And so to help them learn the maps better, they dropped 2 out of the map pool. But I'm like, you still have 15 maps. It's like, if you wanted to be better for casual players, drop it to maybe 12 or 10 or something. Like, bring it down. Don't just like, yeah, we just dropped 2 maps. I mean, it's still more than you launched with the game. But
it's, yeah, that's still a shit ton to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, all right, but... But yeah, at least they got rid of the favela. Was I never liked that map. That was really confusing for new players. Yacht would be less so, but Yacht was one of the least liked maps. That was from any expansion. But yes, that's good. And then I did play so in the name of the Czar DLC for Battlefield came out with 6 maps. For some reason, I was thinking 4, and they're bundling in the 2 night maps with it. But the 2 night maps are technically with the They Shall Not Pass DLC. So there's 6 maps in that, and then 6 maps in the name of Czar. They also, that's where they pushed the update through, where we talked about a couple episodes ago, the perks and the specializations that they did. Those just got released. They also added HDR support across all platforms that support it. And I've only played 5 of the 6 new maps. But yeah, I love snow maps. Snow maps are like my favorite maps in Battlefield. I fucking love snow maps, and they're all snow maps. And it's just so good. Yeah, they're just a ton of fun. And then I love the assignments to unlock the new guns. I unlocked one of the new guns. It's an assault rifle for, the medic class, an automatic rifle essentially, because they don't have automatic rifles for the medic. And this is the only one. And it's fun to use. And I definitely like what they're doing. And then the specializations, you get 3 by default, but you have to unlock 3 class specializations challenges to unlock the advanced ones that you can get. I did the medic 1-on-1 match because it was like, I run medic all the time, so getting all 5 requirements was super easy in one match. It's like, oh, heal 20 people, revive 10 people, get 10 kills in a round, get, you know, do this. It's like, that's super easy. Come on. It's medic. and then what's nice is that you don't have to be that class to unlock. So the ones that are for the assault, you don't necessarily have to run the assault class to get all of them. Now, to get some of them, you will. The ones that are specific, like if it says use an anti-tank grenade, only assault to get that. But then there's things like, oh, you know, do X or Y, and it's like, you can do that pretty easily with some of the other classes. And then there's a 5th one that's like just a grab bag of things you have to do, and that one I've almost got full, but I have to do some things that I never do. Like, I never get tank kills, because I never use a tank, and then I never do bayonet kills, and I have to do that in the assault class, and that's going to be tough to do. But yeah, it's a I'm really liking the new maps. They're everybody's loving them too. The community loves them a lot. They're two of them people don't like because they're pretty wide open field maps, so they feel like it's too snipery. But you got enough vehicles and planes and stuff. You can just, and there's trenches, so you can sneak around. Just
I always have an issue with that argument of maps that are too snipery, because the fact is, most maps are catered towards close range gameplay and gunplay. Sometimes it's nice to have a map that, you know, is snipery for people that, you know, like sniping. That's always driven me crazy of people that bitch about that. And it's like, this is what I like the most, is these large maps where I actually can snipe. I understand you don't, but I put up with the maps I don't like. You should put up with them too.
Yeah. And it's like, typically I think what the, for one, the map specifically, I can see kind of why they would complain, because usually it's, if a map in battle, like the maps in Battlefield are fucking huge. So usually there might be like a region where like, this region is pretty open. This is like a prime area if you're a sniper to be in, if you're just gonna be a stationary sniper. It's like, okay, we got some good lookout camp spots you can be at. But there'd be other sections of the map where there's a lot of buildings or structures or something to kind of break line of sight. Whereas the layout of two of the maps on the DLC are pretty wide open with not as much cover. But again, there are trenches and ways to get around, and there's more vehicles, so you can just use the vehicles as transport to get to the objectives. And usually if people are sniping, they're well out of the capture zone. So they're not, unless they're aggressive, an aggressive sniper, they're not capturing any flags. But yeah, it's just,
I understand that for certain maps, and I guess it depends on how they're doing it, like whether or not they are just camping and going for a kill death, or whether or not they're actually trying. But I still feel like there's ways to balance that, and there's a lot of people that just camp anyways, so it's not like it's that drastically new or different.
Yeah.
And I just like sniping, man. That's why I loved Killzone.
Yeah, I don't snipe that much. I like sniping with just a semi-automatic rifle. Like, I love taking long shots as my medic in Battlefield 1 without a scope, because I also play still aggressive, but I usually don't like running snipers in most games. But at least on consoles. When I played games on PC, I used to run snipers a bit when I could, like in a Day of Defeat, although usually I just ran the Grand. But yeah, when I played Day of Defeat, I used to run snipes all the time, man. So good. But yeah, it's a ton of fun. Great DLC. I'm glad it's six maps too. It's fucking crazy. I was thinking it was only going to be four. But yeah, I'm hoping I can play that last map I need to play.
I always forget how many shooters you actually play.
Well, I really only played the two. I mean, Battlefield 1 took over Rainbow Six, but then my cousin and another buddy, they kind of had a fallout of Battlefield, which is his way. I mean, he's like that with any game. That's more of like
fallout.
Well, he plays it, and then he just, for a short period, like maybe a month, maybe two, but then it's like he just goes and plays something else, and then he's just tired, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not really feeling it." Or he does the thing where he does the Final Fantasy thing, where he just plays it for a bit, and then he stops until new content comes out. Like, he just gets tired. It's like, we still have fun, even though it's the same maps. Like, that's the only reason he started playing Rainbow again, was because the DLC was coming. But he's not going to play Battlefield, and then my other buddy just deleted Battlefield off his hard drive, so he's not going to play it. So I'm like, luckily I have three other people I can play Battlefield with, but the problem is they play so infrequently that it's like, usually I'm just running solo. And I don't like playing, like, for too long on a solo games, but
How come you like the multiplayer in Battlefield, but with games like Destiny, you want to buy it only for the single player, despite it having, you know, a gun multiplayer component?
Because I like the Battlefield multiplayer way better. And, like, it's got that vehicle play, the destruction, 64 players.
So you just like that style of
way,
like,
more objectives,
gunplay more.
Yeah, I just like that. It's like, it's, there's more bigger maps. There's, I like the objectives you have to do. I don't play team deathmatch in Battlefield. I always play conquest.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I just, I, and it's, it, because it's multiplayer, I like the 60 frames more than the 30 in Destiny. I played Destiny a little bit, but I just didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, no, it makes sense. They're totally different types of multiplayer. I was just curious what you didn't actually like about it.
Yeah. I mean, and then Rainbow Six Siege, the same way, it's just an entirely different multiplayer than Battlefield 1, but I do like it. Same with, like, The Last of Us. It's just, it's an entirely different multiplayer experience. And, yeah, I prefer those well over anything else. Yeah. Which is why I'll be interested to see when Call of Duty comes out, because I haven't played a Call of Duty multiplayer since Modern Warfare 2. So I'll be interested to see if that quick arcade style is any good. But because I didn't try the Titanfall one because I wasn't interested, but I just played the campaign. But yeah. It's good stuff. Just trying to see if there's anything else like I had missed, but I did pick up a new TV.
I got a 4K TV.
Yeah, I got the LG OLED, the B7.
Is it as amazing as you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's a really good looking TV. the one problem I have is that the PS4 doesn't do HDR in the main menu. And the HDR is only in the games. So when you turn HDR on and you have HDR on the HDMI port you're using, when you boot up the game, the screen will go black.
When it's automatically adjusting.
It would be like, it'd be like if you changed inputs. It's like that, it's that kind of, because it's going, okay, HDR, this game is HDR compatible, or, you know, it just boots the game. And then if I have to turn it on, like I booted up a game, like Everybody's Golf has HDR, but I have it turned off. And then if I turn it on, it makes the screen goes black because I have to recalibrate real quick. But it's when you quit and launch a game, it does that black screen, which is fine because that's just loading stuff anyways. It's just, I noticed it and I was like, huh, that's interesting. Right now, I played a mix of stuff last night because I'm trying to find that perfect balance. So I have two settings, one for games with HDR and one's without. It's like the HDR one, my brightness is max because you want your brightness max for HDR. Whereas normally I play games with low brightness, so I have a game setting that's without it. But I need to find the perfect balance between multiple games. So like what I might set for Horizon might not be the exact perfect one for Uncharted or Battlefield or Everybody's Golf. Not that Everybody's Golf necessarily needs HDR because it's just a silly game, but I was using it as an example because I had it. I was like, okay. And I think I found a nice balance. And usually if I have to change one thing, it's one slider. It's the color temperature. So I can change it to warmer or cooler. And usually that is where, like Battlefield, I run cooler because I was on the snow maps. So I was like, okay, let's run it cooler. The problem with Battlefield 2, which I also was running into with Horizon when I was messing with it, is because there's fucking weather. So in Battlefield, I'm on this snow map and it's like, great, but it's also cloudy and overcast, so I can't really tell. Like, well, I need to go to I loaded up a single player map that was a sand level, so I could see, like, okay, well, how does it look in the sand? It's like, okay, well, the sand looks a little too orangish, and I don't like this because let's adjust it down, find the perfect balance. So I'm a little bit of that calibration. Like, I went off Digital Foundry has a one for the B6. They do a game one and then do an HDR one, and I based it off those. I use those values, and now I'm just going to adjust it based on that. But basically once you get an HDR, it's like I just have to do the color temp a little bit if I don't necessarily agree. And then and I haven't used just the game setting because I haven't played much. The games I was testing all had HDR, so yeah, Horizon looked great, especially in that 4K. It was funny when I did it, I forgot to turn off one of the, like, those motion settings. So when I was running, like, her legs look super weird. I was like, wait, what? Why is her legs really weird when they're moving? And then I realized, oh, there was some kind of processing going on, so I had to turn it off. It turned itself on secret because it went to a different setting. But and I was like, hey, no, don't do that.
HDR makes your legs different, didn't you know?
Yeah, well, it was because it was like when you go from game versus game HDR, it considers itself an entirely new input profile, so it doesn't have the exact same settings. I was like, all right, but But yeah, it was good. I haven't tried everything. I've only booted up Battlefield. I played Match Battlefield last night. I played Lost Legacy. I ran around the jungle. I did Horizon and Everybody's Golf. And then I'm going to boot up Infamous First Light for all the neon, see how that looks. And then I don't think... Does Hellblade have HDR? I don't remember. I think so.
It does.
Yeah. So I'll boot up Help.
Hellblade's got all that jazz.
I know Crash does. So maybe I'll play Crash, but... But yeah, it's a... Yeah, it's crisp, sharp TV, especially compared to my previous one. And then they had the... I updated all the apps, and I ended up upgrading to the Ultra HD Netflix streaming package for that extra $2. And I was like, well, I need the Ultra now. Give me that Ultra. But
I didn't actually even know Netflix had that.
Yeah, they have they have HD, then they have Ultra HD, which I think...
Or that they charged extra. Doesn't it already go up to, like, 4K automatically on a stream?
No, you have to have... you have to pay for that because it's more of a bandwidth thing on their end. So I'm sure they're probably getting throttled hard by service providers or something. I don't know. But
oh, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, but I'll give it a go this week and see. Try to get that perfect balance. It is really weird when I was like how low my brightness was on my other TV because I never turned up because I prefer low lighting, at least the way my situation, my house is. I'm like, hey, I just prefer low light. It's just better. And then it's like, oh, I got to turn brightness way up because I'm doing this particular mode.
Because now I'm blind.
Oh, you got to hit all those, you got to get those nits all the way up. That way you can get the best HDR. But
I always, I'll confess to this. Whenever there's a brightness slider in a video game, I always crank the brightness way up. Because frankly, going into like a dark area, if I can't see the detail, it pisses me off. I don't like completely like pitch black areas in video games because I like being able to see the detail that they actually put in. And usually the environments are quite cool. And they never do like... Certain games have good enough lighting that like Dead Space had very good lighting where the dark areas... had enough detail and enough light sources that you could still see things properly. But a lot of games just seem to want it to be scary, so they crank it really dark, and then you just can't see shit.
Yeah. It's that's why I look forward to with the games with HDR. So, and that's why I liked OLED, because OLED has better, deeper blacks and a better setting because the panel... so you don't get that bloom effect from the light, so you can see it. But I haven't, I need to play a game like Rainbow Six and just load up some maps, because they have some dark maps in that. And I think, well, it doesn't have HDR, it does, the OLED will help with those black levels. So I'll be curious. My cousin was talking about that when he was using his TV. But yeah, brightness is always something in games I'd turn a bit, like, it's rare in a game, it's like, oh, adjust the brightness so you can't see the logo in the left square, and then very rarely will I ever turn it down. I always like go down to where it says, and then I'll go up like 3-4 ticks.
Oh yeah, because usually it's like, bitch, I want to see the logo.
Yeah, and it's also because
I want to see the detail in your environments.
I've already got my TV brightness down at like 15, you know, of 50 or 100 or whatever, and it's like if I already have my brightness down, then the game, I don't want the game brightness to be down on top of that. But yeah, I just wish there was a way, I don't know, like I wish there was a feature built in where you could split the screen. You know how like Sony did a thing where they go, oh, this is, here's simulated 1080p, here's, and then here's without HDR, and then here's HDR 4K when they did the Pro reveal. I wish TVs had a built-in thing where you can view like when you're changing the settings, like, luckily with the TV, the menu is on the left and it's opaque and I can see the rest of the game on the right. So as I make changes, and also if I choose a change, like, oh, I want to change the color temperature, the slider's on the bottom of the screen. As I change it, I see the changes to the game. So I can see it happening. But I wish there was a way to like have a split where like just default, here's what you had, here's what you're changing it to, so I could see it and be like, just to see that difference, you know? Like, or here, this side of the screen is HDR, this side is not. I took pictures on my phone because the iPhones have the HDR camera, which is different than HDR's television screen, but it's still, you can still capture that that difference. And I was trying to look at the difference between, like, I could see it myself changing it in Horizon going from off to on, but I also realized how much you can kind of almost fudge that without having HDR, kind of like how they were Guerrilla Games was talking about for Killzone, where if you just turn down the brightness but turn up some other settings, you can get pretty close to that. It just won't work in, you know, certain color palettes might not work, but for like the greens and reds and stuff and blues, you can fudge it to be close. Because yeah, of course, depending on how your TV is lit, if it's backlit or edge lit, that's a big difference between the two. Yeah, but I definitely need to mess around, see some more. But yeah, it's a crisp TV. I've gotten spam messages on PSN twice recently.
Really?
Comes in waves.
Sometimes
you don't.
Yeah, it's really weird. I got one from Beyonce squirting.
Like, maybe. All right. And I blocked all right, it. I'll click on this. I'll see what it is.
No, it just says hello. But I blocked them immediately. And then I had another one from a ways back, which I blocked immediately as well.
Maybe it was Beyonce.
Then I had a random one from, oh, it was Baby Tart. That was the other one. And I'm like, nope, block. I got one on Tumblr, too, for the first time in ever. And I'm like, okay, no.
I get spam messages on Tumblr all the goddamn time. Never gotten one on PSN, though.
Yeah,
some weird. Occasionally on PSN, but they're pretty
infrequent. Maybe if I change my profile to female, I won't get these fake female once.
No, I think you'll get a shit ton more if you do that.
Well, no, because I'll actually, I think my profile's hidden, so
I get like blind friend requests from just like random fucking people, but I never get like messages.
Yeah.
I mean, not would it that it would change the fact that I just like delete it without even looking at it, but
yeah. I need to like, I kind of want to set up my other TV next to this TV. I guess I could on the floor and just run.
Just so that you can compare.
Well, no, because I've seen them compare like in other places. I like to see it like side by side just to just to watch. But I'm gonna
just to confirm that your purchase was worth the money.
There you go. No, but
after like 3 or 4 weeks, I feel like this is better than my other TV. But I'm just not sure. If only I had a TV to compare it to.
Right, I need to buy.
You get used to the new TV, you're like, this doesn't seem much different than what I had before.
But that's the thing a lot of people run into where they talk about like on Podcast Beyond or people who, you know, they see, if you just see the upgraded TV, it's like it's basically that same concept of rose-tinted glasses where you think a game looked better than it actually did until you see it. Where people, if you see a game on an OLED or a 4K TV or with HDR, it's like, it looks, you're like, yeah, this looks just like on my TV, which is just 1080p. But then if you watch them side by side, you're like, okay, no. I see the difference now. But it's it's definitely one of those things. But yeah, it's enjoying so far. I'll be curious because I think Rainbow Six is only 1080p, so I'm curious how the 1080p's. I can't imagine it would look any different on the panel because, well, my cousin said it was fine, but yeah, it'd be interesting. Or watch any of the 720p YouTube upload Let's Plays I watch. see how those look. They should look fine. The text will look beautiful. But
you have a 4K HDR TV. I'm still stuck on like Stone Ages. You got like a shitty refresh rate 1080p TV.
Well, if you got a 60 hertz, that's fine, because games don't go above 60 FPS, so you don't need more than that. Back in the day, it used to be second, like, oh, I need a 120. It's like, no, I don't, because consoles don't go higher than 60. That's why I was looking for a 4K 60 hertz monitor, like a 27-inch, because I was going to do that as a stopgap. But it's kind of hard to find a 60 hertz 4K. At least they seem to be out. Like, or they didn't have HDMI. It's a problem.
But it's probably just not something they make, because they figure if you're buying 4K, might as well get good features everywhere else too.
All right, yeah, you want, you know, well, they, like I said, they make them, they just don't make them with HDMI cables. It's always standard computer hookups. Because they do make 4K, typically it's like 1440p is the most common monitor size, at 144 hertz. But, because there's some really nice monitors out there. Yeah, I definitely look forward to messing around with this. Yeah, then that make sure. As I was talking to someone, when I went to the store, I was like, yeah, can I help you get anything? I was like, yeah, I want this, this brand, this model, this size. Guy, do you have any questions? I'm all, no. Like, yeah, you seem like you know what you want.
It's like, no, this is exactly what I want.
I'm like Ron Swanson that one episode, I know more than you. when he's at the improvement store. Can I help you find anything, sir? I know more than you. But, I'm like, do you want this? I'm like, no. Just give me.
Yeah, I'm sure they love you.
Yeah, well, it was fine because it was just in and out. But, yeah, it was fine because I made a passing comment about Mass Drop, and the guy didn't know what Mass Drop was, but he was probably in his early 20s.
I didn't know what Mass Drop was before.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I would imagine you don't work at a retail store. I'd figure, like, a retail place might know about the big, you saw online retail store, because Mass Drop's been around for a while. So I figured they'd know about it. But, again, he was kind of a younger guy. But, yeah. Yeah, I'm liking it so far. And it's nice to have, because it has that built-in Netflix and Hulu, I don't necessarily have to watch Netflix and Hulu through my PS4. That threw me off last night, because I was, like, done playing a game. So then I went to go watch Hulu or Netflix. And then I switched over on the web OS. And it's like, I start playing it, but there's no audio. I was like, where'd my audio go? I'm like, oh, it's because my surround sound headphones are hooked up to my console. But I was like, so I had a, I'm like, all right, I'll go back and watch it through my PS4. But yeah, so tough.
Life's just hardest decisions.
At least you didn't have to clean all your figurines with a toothbrush.
Yeah, right.
My life is a fucking nightmare of dirt.
We know.
Dirty.
God damn it.
All right. Well, we need a secret word. Last time.
Toothbrush.
Last time it was dresser.
Brush.
He said he does hang his clothes up in the closet, is what he said. I don't know if I believe him, but that's what he said.
Oh, you asked him about this.
I said, you know, Izzy doesn't like the fact you have your clothes all over the. You didn't buy a dresser over getting the TV, because he's still looking for getting a dresser. He's probably gonna.
It's not that he didn't buy a dresser over a TV. It's that dressers are quite cheap. TV he bought was ridiculously expensive. So it's right. Like that percentage thing of like.
Well, it's just if he didn't want it. I mean, I don't need a dresser. It's cheap, but I bought a TV. But it's like I just. I didn't want to buy something else, or like taillights for my car, or
I mean, if he has like a closet that he hangs his clothes in, built-in shelving, sure, that's fine. But you were like, nah, he just keeps his clothes on his bed and rotates.
That's what he does, and I don't believe for a second that all his clothes are in the closet. That's what he said, but I don't believe him. But
you can't take a girl home to a bed that's covered in clothes.
No, he can't. That's why his girlfriend never stays up here. He come up to visit, but they like go do stuff. They don't stay at his place. That he always goes down there. And I'm like, cause your place is a mess. But
they just need to be together long enough where it doesn't fucking matter. She'll just go over, put the clothes on the floor, and then sit on the bed.
Right.
That's how relationships work.
But so secret word. Will be
dust.
Toothbrush.
Dust. I hate dust. Man, I want to buy like a bunch of those tiny like HEPA filter fans.
Yes.
And I want to get like the two, the itty bitty ones. I'm going to put them both on my entertainment stand, and then I want to put one down by my PS4, and then I want like one somewhere else near a resonant, because I fucking hate dust.
I want to live in a like hermetically sealed house where they have the filters like in the air conditioning system, so it's like even if I cool my house or heat my house with shit from the outside, it gets caught in the filter and I never have to deal with dust ever in my fucking life again.
Right.
That's tell us more, Zaya.
It's like I have a little like Febreze filter thingy, and the filter was covered in dust like the third day that I had it, and there's still just like hair and dust everywhere. There's no size of like filter fan thing that can possibly save me from the dirt in the air here.
Yeah, the problem is I need like a big one too for the main room, because it's like, oh, because the apartment's so open. Yeah, it's like you get those big ones like, oh, this is good for like a room. Like, yeah, but this is like three rooms in this hallway, and the other rooms are feeding into it, and all yada. It's like, If I could just get the dust out of the living room. And it's usually fine, because it's not like, dust never settles in anywhere that's active, so the couch is fine, the most of my table's fine, my stuff's fine. It's just like the stand with my, the case with my games, my airsoft guns, the tops of them, I vacuumed them off the other day, and then the TV stand. And of course, it does somehow gets down in between the shelves for my PS4. So I gotta clean out the PS4 top. But
I was like, I dusted, I took everything off my desk and dusted it, wiped everything down. Probably like 3 days ago. No, I did it on Thursday because that was my day off. And now it looks like I haven't dusted in like a week. There's like hair and dust and shit everywhere. My desk is black, of course, so you can just see shit everywhere. It's fucking infuriating.
Probably doesn't help that you have like six animals.
I have three animals, thank you very much.
Like six.
Only one of them sits on my desk.
Michael. But
the truth comes out.
Yeah, that's the thing about carpet, which I do prefer over hardwood floors. But it's like then I vacuum fairly regularly, and then it's like I empty out the container, and then I vacuum, and I'm like, look at this container. Like, it's not, like, full or anything, but still, the amount of dust and crap that's in it, I'm like, how is there this much?
I always wanted hardwood floors, but now that I have hardwood floors in my bedroom and my game room, I fucking hate them, and I want them to go away.
Why do you hate them?
Because they're dirty all the time.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's gross.
Especially with animals, it's the worst.
There's, like, hair everywhere, and I have two chows.
You just
and
Swiffer.
I live somewhere. The Swiffer is no chance against the animals that I have in my house. I sweep and then I mop the floors like once a week. But the carpet in the living room is so much easier to take care of. I have two chows and we live somewhere where it's 110 degrees, so they shed constantly. So there's like balls of fur all over the living room. But hey, guess what? You vacuum for 3 minutes and like the entire living room and everything is perfectly spotless. Whereas you sweep the dog fur and it just flies up in the air and then falls somewhere else, and you can't sweep it into the bin because it gets stuck to the broom, and my life is difficult.
It's a hard life, Zaya.
Yeah, I hated hardwood floors. I had it for a while when I was living by myself, and then I moved back to the same apartments later, and my girlfriend had cats. And it's just because, like, if it's carpet, it just settles. That's fine. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's like hardwood floors, like you open a door, a window, the wind blows, and it just all blows around and gathers everywhere.
Or if you have a ceiling fan, because it's 110 degrees outside, so you've got the ceiling fan, the box fan, and everything else going, it's just like a tornado of hair all the time. Yeah. So I have to sweep like every day.
It's 110 degrees by you guys?
By me. At least
That's disgusting.
It was a little bit cooler this last week because we had that like 3 second storm that blew through, but for the last like 3 weeks it's been in the hundreds or above.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like fucking disgusting.
108 110 last week and Saturday, but I have AC, so I just kept that on, didn't go anywhere.
I know, I saw that San Francisco was like 115 one day. I was like, no, it's supposed to be cool there, that's why we're going.
Yeah, it was just, it was super dry too because the fires.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it's so dry outside. But then it, I always had a thing with temperatures. Like once it gets past like high 80s, it just all feels the same to me. I'm like,
yeah, it feels disgusting and like you're going to die.
And I'm like, it's whatever. But yeah.
I know, all at least here when it gets to like, if it's above 95 degrees, it doesn't matter if it's 95 or 110. You don't want to go outside because you're going to burn to death.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so the secret word again is dust.
Well.
The wind.
Yeah. But, all right, well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully we'll get some more news next week. Maybe more impressions of, you can, week two of Destiny, you can be like, yeah, I'm not feeling the grind.
Yeah, I hate it now.
Yeah,
I have some complaints.
but yeah, hopefully we have some more stuff to talk about. But all right, well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
We'll see you all next week.
Later.
Bye.